Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. It was Saint Jerome who said, "A friendship that can cease has never been real." I believe every one of us is looking for real friendship. Aren't you? Such friendship that's seen when you're down and out. The Bible says, "A man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Strangely, isn't it at those times when things aren't going so well, or perhaps even those moments when things have really gone down, I mean really, really bad, that you begin to see not a whole bunch of people, but a few, and in some instances, maybe only one. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why there is, for many people, a great love for the Lord Jesus Christ, because when there is that friend who sticks closer than a brother, as the scripture says, many people who have been down in the dregs of life have felt that, that's Jesus. He has been with me. Well, my guest and I, we want to let you know that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio show is because we believe God has sent us to remind you that no matter how down it is, or how low you get, or how bad things begin to feel around you and within you, there is always hope through Jesus Christ. And there's always hope in Jesus Christ. And He is that friend who sticks closer than a brother. Pastor James Kimo Matsumoto did 3 prison terms and served a total of 8.5 years in the Hawaii State Prison System. While in prison, he encountered a life-changing experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He graduated from Victory Ohana Prison Ministries in 1997, became a volunteer staff member, and served on its board of directors for 2 years. In 1997, he got married to Joanne. His wife had also spent a year and a half in prison for drug-related offenses. Well, he moved to Waianae in 1998 and served at Shield of Faith Christian Ministries for 4 years. And in 2002, they started having Bible studies in their home, and eventually it led to further growth, where they began holding services at Waianae Elementary School. He is the lead pastor for Powerhouse Church in Waianae. He's a former board member and current member of the Hawaii Coalition of Christian Churches and a board member of Kahikolu Ohana Hale o Waianae for the past 4 years. They just launched out a new church recently, House of Prayers, but Pastor James Kimo Matsumoto, he is here in studio with me and you to share heart to heart, like we always do here at the Good Life Hawaii Show, because like we said before, the Lord has something just for you today. Pastor Kimo, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Danny. All right.
Pastor, tell us, where did you grow up?
I grew up in mostly around Kaimuki and the Moilili, Makali area. I lived in Kaimuki area.
Okay, and as you grew up there, what are some of your memories growing up in Kaimuki in that unique surroundings?
Well, it's a pretty nice neighborhood, nice community, you know. But I always, from a young age, I kind of felt like I always didn't always fit in, or you know, and I started getting in trouble, you know, at a kind of young age.
How old were you when you started getting in trouble?
I was about 12 years old, just about the age transitioning into from elementary school into intermediate school. And yeah, I was on a swim team, and you know, actually, you know, was grew up pretty good kid, you know. And then right around that age, I started just hanging around with, you know, kind of like the wrong crowd.
Now, were you close to your parents? Tell us about your family background.
Oh yeah, my father, my parents were divorced from when I was separated from when I was 6 years old, and at when I was age eight, they were divorced. And so I didn't see my father from about age six for years. And that had a big, you know, influence in my life.
How did that affect you?
That really, the feeling of not having a father, you know, around, it was hard. I you know, really didn't have that guidance, you know, from a father. And so, you know, I started hanging around with the wrong crowd, and you know, my mom, she had a hard time you know, enforcing discipline, and you know, she's a single parent, and so I just started drifting at about age 12.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother, and he's 3 years younger than me.
Well, she had a lot on her hands then.
Yeah, she had a lot on her hands.
Well, and that's a critical time too in the life of any child, right? Going from the elementary school years to those adolescent years in middle school, and your feeling, what kind of, how would you describe the feelings you had at that time? You mentioned not having a father. What was the feeling like?
Yeah, I felt like real insecure. Like you know, I just felt like I, you know, wasn't didn't measure up, or you know, didn't have. You know, all my friends that had fathers, they played sports. You know, their fathers taught them how to play sports. So especially for a young, you know, boy, you know, father is very important. You know, so, you know, I started doing individual kind of sports, like, you know, surfing. And, you know, I hung around with some of the surfers, and we started cutting school, you know, going to the pool halls, and, you know, at a pretty young age. And you know, the pool halls really, you know, were a really bad influence, you know, at that time. You know, I probably still today, you know, pool halls, you know, we did a lot of, you know, drugs and drinking and those kind of things.
So at that time, you know, some people, they might say, well, my dad was the most influential person in my life, or my mom was. But, you know, being at that point, you know, who would you say influenced you, you know, in your life at that critical period?
I had a bunch of friends, you know. You know, being young, I think by the time I was 14 years old, I had a couple friends, and some of them were about 5 years older than me, and one was 7 years older than me, and his name was Tyler, and you know, he really influenced me, you know, in a really bad way, and you know, we were close friends, and you know, even later on in life, he actually did do some good things, you know, as a friend. But at that age, you know, it was all about, you know, crime and things like that.
And at that age difference, they're like big brothers to you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, you're still impressionable, right?
You can very impressionable.
Very easily influenced. Yeah. And so, you know, you were upfront, you know. In fact, ever since I've known you, you know, I think about a person who's just open. You know, there's no pretension. You're not trying to shade something over. You've been open. And just like here, you know, yeah, you spent time in prison. And so you ended up there, but then your life changed there, and you encountered a life-changing moment, a life-changing experience. I'd like for you to share about that. particularly what happened, because I think there are people who can relate with you.
Right.
People come from all kinds of... Everybody has baggage in life. Some have heavy baggage, but we all have baggage.
Yeah.
And the baggage is baggage because you put them, you hide them, right?
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to open up and show everything.
Right.
But that's the thing, you know. And yet in that, there is not only relatability, but there's the potential for healing because you experience redemption.
Right.
I'm sitting here with a man who had a very painful upbringing. At no fault of your own, you know, your parents made the decisions that they made. Your mom, I would imagine, did the best that she could.
She did.
With what she had. And, you know, many parents, you know, they do the best they can. Hopefully, as the generations, you know, grow and, you know, we learn more and then we develop further, and hopefully our kids and so on and so forth will, you know, take things to a higher level or another level.
Right.
But, you know, you went through that. And there are people who feel like your mom too. Well, I tried my best, but it feels like my best isn't good enough.
Right.
Maybe somebody today, as you're listening, you're saying, wow, God, you mean he can do something in the life of somebody like Pastor Kimo, who went off the right path and got involved with a group of friends who, you know, sent him in a lifestyle of crime, and then he had to pay the penalty for it. You mean there's still hope for a person like that?
Oh, yeah.
And Pastor Kimo would say, indeed. Yes, indeed. And even for a mother, you know, I'd like to hear, you know, just how things have developed, you know, in your relationship with your mom or your parents. But when we come back from our break, we'll hear more. I mean, we're just sort of opening up here. But Pastor Kimo will share with us about what happened when he was in prison and how Christ met him there. Maybe you're behind bars right now, really behind bars. And you're wondering, can Christ do a work in me? Well, I believe he can. Is there hope for me, you ask? I believe there is. We're here to remind you of that. Maybe you're just shackled in your own life. You're free on the outside, but you're just stuck. You don't know how to get out. Well, Christ has come to set people free. We'll be back with more from Pastor Kimo Matsumoto. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor James Kimo Matsumoto. He's a lead pastor at Powerhouse Church in Waianae. To find out more about Powerhouse Church, Pastor Kimo, and his ministry, go to www.powerhousesoldiers.com. That's powerhousesoldiers.com. You may be joining us right now. I'm talking with Pastor Kimo Matsumoto. He spent 8.5 years in prison. He encountered the Lord Jesus Christ while he was behind bars, and it literally and magnificently changed his life. Since he's been released, the Lord has used him for many years to bring the hope and love of Christ to many people. When you're with him, you encounter a presence, a peace of Christ that he beholds, as well as just a life of faithfulness, steadiness. You know, the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we're interested in bringing programming that allows you to utilize to reach your family member or your friend, to put resources in your hands. And they're all available and accessible at thegoodlifehawaii.org. We're also always trying to improve our website presence, and we've optimized for all web browsers now, our website, including mobile devices. So we want to increase the speed so that you can access programs. And maybe sometimes you've tried and, you know, you've had a few glitches along the way, but try again, because on our side, we're always trying to improve. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, a listener-supported program, and we appreciate your support. And it's because of people like Dr. Calvin Oishi that allows Pastor Kimo Matsumoto to be with us today. Pastor, tell us, you ended up in prison. How did that all happen?
Well, you know, like I said, I got involved in crime and drugs. You know, and once we started doing drugs, you know, we had to find ways to, you know, get money to keep buying drugs, you know, whether it be selling drugs or, you know, committing thefts or whatever, you know. And so the guys I hung out with, we sold drugs, and every now and then we'd lose that connection, and then we'd get desperate. And then, you know, one of my friends taught me how to, they called it boosting, which was shoplifting. And so, you know, a lot of guys, when I went into the prison, you know, at one time in my life, I ended up at the highest security. And, you know, I asked the guys, like, what are you in here? And they said, murder. What are you in here for? You know, armed robbery. And they look at me and they say, what are you in here? And I said, shoplifting. <You know? laughs> But, yeah, so, you know, I ended up getting desperate, and then, you know, shoplifting, and, you know, it became like a chronic thing, you know, not only addicted to drugs, but, you know, so I ended up in prison. And I went in there with a crime partner who I thought was one of the most selfish people I ever knew on the street. And as soon as he went into the prison, the guy totally changed. He started going to church, and he became a very generous person. And I thought, you know, I used to tease him and say, yeah, that's weak. You know, you're just doing it to try to get out, or, you know, that's like a crutch for you, you know, and mm-hmm. used to kind of tease him. And, you know, he hung around with all the Christians, and I hung around with all the, you know, bad guys, and I started getting involved in drugs in the prison. And so he kept telling me to please come to church, you know, come to church. And I kept telling him, you know what, you know, as for weak guys, you know, I'm not going to go to church. And one day they said, well, if you go to church, you know, I had a friend that had said he would pass me some drugs, you know, if I showed up at church. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to go to church. And I ended up going to the church service. And as soon as I went, I sat very close to the, as far back as I could sit in the back. And there was a Samoan brother in the prison system at that time. And I believe he's still there. He's doing life without parole. And this guy was involved in a murder. And actually, from everything I know about the prison system, guys who were actually there when it happened, he never really was involved in the crime itself. Another guy looked just like him was there, and he ended up getting convicted with a gang of guys that killed another inmate, and he had life without parole. And so when I went to the prison service, I knew this guy, and I knew he had life without parole, and he had tattoos on his face. He was a really built, you know, thick guy. And when I looked at him, when he greeted me, when I was walking into that prison chapel, he had the most peaceful look in his face, more peaceful than I see in the guards that go home every night, you know. And I thought, if anybody should be angry and upset at the system, you know, here's a guy that, you know, from what we hear is he's innocent and he has the peace of God. You know, he just looks so peaceful, and he had a lot of love. You know, I looked at him, I said, hey, something different about this guy. And he greeted me, and he said, man, we've been praying that you would come to church. You know, I said, oh, yeah, right. And so I sat in the back, and he was opening the service. He wasn't the preacher. He's just another, you know, convict in the prison. And he started pointing at different posters on the wall and quoting different scriptures. And he quoted John 3:16, and he quoted, you know, a few other scriptures having to do with Romans Road, saying that, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And then he quoted one scripture that made all the difference in my life. He said, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when I heard those words, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, even to this day, it just touches my heart. It just pierced my heart. It pierced my heart so much that I just began to weep. I just began to cry uncontrollably. And, you know, these guys are there. I'm there to pick up drugs, and I'm trying to be all macho and, you know, look tough and everything, but I just couldn't get that word out of my heart. It just pierced my heart. And I heard the love of God. And there was an older man sitting at the front of the chapel, and he just began to cry uncontrollably. You know, I still remember, he started, and he just cried and cried and cried. And I'm in the back trying not to cry, and tears are just streaming out of my eyes. And the guys are going like, the dope's coming. And I'm going like, you know, I didn't know what repentance was, but I believe in my heart I repented, because I was going, I don't want it. I don't want it. Don't send it my way. You know, they're looking at me, and they're looking all mad and tough, you know, and I'm going, I don't care, you know, and I just, tears kept coming out of my eyes. And you know, I just knew that God loved me. And while I was yet a sinner, and they had an altar call. Somebody else went up and preached. I didn't even really pay attention to the message. Just that word just kept ringing in my heart. And at the altar call, I didn't even go up for the altar call, you know. And when I went back to the dorm that night, I just kept crying all that whole day. And at night, when the whole dorm was quiet, everybody was mostly just sleeping, and there were a bunch of guys gambling down at the end of the dorm. And I remember just sitting there and just saying, okay, God, I think they said, I'm supposed to ask you to forgive me. And so just, here's my life, just forgive me. And that was my sinner's prayer. And eventually I did go to the altar calls and, you know, confess Christ, and got led through that prayer. But I believe God did something in my heart, and I kept crying. It's like a cleansing, you know. I never was brought up, my father kind of, you know, Oriental samurai kind of guy, and taught us not to cry, you know. And you know, I remember just crying for about a week straight, maybe 2 weeks straight, and anybody just says Jesus or something about, and, you know, just crying, you know, and definitely a change. But I still had a lot of baggage in my thoughts, I still didn't understand the whole Christian walk.
You know, something interesting that just compelling to me as I'm just hearing you and seeing you. The Lord touched your heart. He grabbed a hold of your heart. And you mentioned a distinction of, you know, what was going on in your mind. Your heart was already changing. It's almost like some of there was a lot of baggage in your head, you were saying, that need to be cleansed and, you know, reframed, or a lot of stuff just thrown out so that you could be reshaped. You know, I think about the passage, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and purpose, Romans chapter 12. So, you know, when you talk like that, I think, you know, it's not just winning an argument and just intellectually, you know, winning a battle with someone, but somehow the love of Christ touched your heart.
Yes.
You know, Pastor, today someone might be listening, and even as they hear you share, see, that's the power. Just this, you know, we're thinking of you who are listening as a singular individual that Christ loves.
Yes.
And even through the testimony of Pastor Kimo Matsumoto, I ask you, what is Christ doing in your heart? You might not have all the answers right now. Those can come. We're not saying you forget about understanding things. No. That's very important. But your heart, is there a change? Is there a turning in your heart? You're already acting, Pastor, right? In repentance. You didn't want the drugs as it was being passed over to you. We want you, and we believe the Lord wants you to be sensitive right now at this moment to what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in your heart. Because even now there might be cleansing that's taking place. You might be responding. There may be some emotions involved as well. We don't discount that. God has made us beings that have feelings. But open your heart to Christ and the work that Christ has done in Pastor Kimo's life is a sign of what kind of marvelous things the Lord can do in your life. Well, you know, this is a special moment. And I believe it's a special moment between you and the Lord and us being together with you. When we come back from our break, Pastor Kimo will share a little bit more. You see, his life was going to take a turn for the good. And in many ways, he wasn't going to look back. And it included meeting someone, a partner, a life partner, who God has given to him. And together, in the name of Christ, they're serving many people. People that God brings across their path. And the Lord has brought Pastor Kimo across your path today. He'll be back to share more. Pastor, I appreciate the gut level sharing that you're giving to us. And we want more. You willing to share more with us when we come back?
Yeah.
Pastor Kimo Matsumoto is with us. And we'll be back with more from him. Stay with us. Stay with us now. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winter Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinena Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Pastor Kimo Matsumoto. Pastor Kimo is the lead pastor of Powerhouse Church in Waianae. You can find out more about Pastor Kimo and his ministry at www.powerhousesoldiers.com. I mean, it's been a real heart-to-heart. Maybe you're joining in the show right now. Maybe you caught the last part. And you can hear the show in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.org. We also have some other features. Like in this case, we have a YouTube clip. We want to bring you in studio, at least give you a taste of what it's like to be here with us. We have a YouTube clip available for you to actually see Pastor Kimo. And you can listen to the show in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.org. We have the YouTube link there at thegoodlifehawaii.org. But go to the website and spend some time there. You'll be able to access other programs as well. And also, we've optimized our website for all web browsers, including mobile devices now. So if you've tried it and you know you've had a few glitches along the way, go back, try it again. And you should have much, much better success and a good experience as you spend that time with us. Pastor, during the break, you shared some things with me, and, I'm taken aback. I mentioned you went forward and you never looked back, but in reality, some stuff did happen. Tell us what went on.
Well, like I shared that, the baggage of the mind, and you quoted that scripture from Romans 12, too. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And my mind had to be changed. It's like my heart changed. And, I got out of prison, and I did end up backsliding. And, I ended up back in a life of crime and drugs, I actually ended up doing three prison terms. The first time when I went in, I got probation, and after that, I did three terms. And while I was, back in that backsliding state, I met my wife, and we weren't married. We were like boyfriend and girlfriend. We were, she was just another relationship, and we were on drugs and everything. But she was somebody that was kind of different, and she was kind of special, is what I noticed. And I never forget this. There's a few times that we were both trying to stop using drugs. And, you know, I was wanted by the law, and I had warrants out for my arrest, and she had warrants, and we had ran off to Maui, and we were trying to hide out there and do crime and still be able to do drugs. And, you know, I told her, I said, I'm really tired of this. I just so tired of, waking up and having to, you know, feed the drug habit and having to hustle and, you know, hurt people and do things to get money that, you know, aren't good. And, you know, I'm just tired of this, you know, and I'm tired. I don't want to even face tomorrow because I know I'm going to end up back in prison. It's not an option because I have warrants, you know, and I've committed a new crime and, you know, all these things were going on. And I remember my wife was sitting there in front of me, and we were boyfriend girlfriend at that time, and she took a big hit of crack cocaine and she blew it out, and she said this. She says, I have a big, big God and he can do anything. And I got kind of scared and paranoid. I said, what's your God? Like cocaine, you know, don't even talk about God, you know, at this point, you know. But she said, no, you know what? The only way I know how we can get out of this is God can make a way. And I looked at her and I was thinking, she's crazy. You know, she's high on drugs. And I kind of got a little convicted. I was going, I don't even want to hear anything about God in this condition. But she spoke by faith and she said, you know, God can make a way. You know, this is the only way I know how we can get out of this life. Hmm. And so eventually, you know, she ended up in prison. I ended up in prison. And we couldn't communicate with each other, but through a mutual friend, I had to mail my letters to him, and she would mail her letters to him, and he would reseal the envelope and mail them back into the prison. And that's how we communicated. And eventually, she turned her whole life, Pastor Claudio Borge's wife, Pastor Jenny Borge, she went into the prison and visited my wife and had Bible studies there. And my wife totally repented, totally turned to the Lord with all her heart and started writing to me about God and God's love and God's forgiveness. And, you know, she didn't even know that, you know, that I had actually received Christ before and was backslidden. And I was just kept trying to tell her, oh, that's good for you. I'm glad for you. I'm glad your life is changing, you know, but, you know, I don't want to hear it. And, you know, she kept telling me about the Lord. And, you know, she kept telling me to please put in a request to see the prison chaplain. I mean, Claudio Borge, he was a chaplain at OCCC, but in order for him to enter into Halawa, somebody had to put in a request to see him. And so I put in a request, one request, and I never put in another. And 9 months went by, and I never put in another. My wife was telling me, put in another request, put in another one. And I kept telling her, yeah, I put in two more, I put in one more. And I was lying through my teeth, you know. And eventually something happened. When I was in prison, I was dealing cigarettes and gambling and going through all these things. And I got in an argument with a guy, and I was really upset with him. And at the same time, I received a phone call. So usually in the prison, you can make calls out, but you don't receive calls from the outside. But the guards locked down the module, and they told me to go up to the phone and pick up the phone. And when I picked up the phone, my mom was on the other line. And she told me, you know, son, I really feel sorry, and I'm sorry for the life you have. And I never intended you to end up in prison and go through this kind of life. And I really feel bad for you. And I just want to let you know, tomorrow I'm going for surgery for cancer, and I don't know if I'm going to live or die, but, you know, I just want to let you know that I love you and I'm sorry. And I sat there and I thought, why is she telling me sorry? I made a lot of bad choices and it just broke my heart. And I started thinking about just taking my life. And this guy I was upset with, I thought, wow, if I'm going to end my life, I'll just dive over the railing with him, you know. You got to think, this had to be God, because the next thing I know, they The next day they called me, Masumoto Chapel, you know, and I was going, I don't go to church. Why are you guys calling me? And the guard kept calling me over and over, repeatedly calling me. And I was saying, hey, I don't go. You know, and then I finally, you know, I'm usually kind of respectful to the guards, but I said, hey, you got a problem? I want to come down there and talk to you. And I went to the guard and I said, hey, you know, why you keep calling my name? You can't make me to go to church. I don't want to go to church. He says, well, I just thought I'd let you know. Claudio Borge is waiting for you at the prison chapel. And this was a guy that, you know, I did time in prison with, and we kind of like looked up to him. He's like an organized crime figure. And, you know, we respected him in the world and we respected him in the prison. And I said, what? Claudio Borge is waiting for me. I said, you know what? I'll get my ID. And I went to the prison chapel and he sat there and he just shared. I didn't even say one word about what was going on with my mom, this thing with this guy, all these things. And he just started sharing, and, you know, the first thing he said, I see the hand of the Lord upon your life. I see God using your life in a powerful way. I see you getting out of prison and serving the Lord in my church. And I thought, man, you're whacked out, you know. But he was prophesying or speaking life over me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, man, so I didn't say a word. He started ministering. And then he shared a scripture with me. It's found in Romans 8:13. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so he said, well, who has to put to death those deeds? Does God have to do it? Or do you have to do it? And I said, well, it says you. He says, who's you? And I said, I guess that's me. He says, by the Spirit, you can put those deeds to death. And I thought, man, God is in agreement with me. I should kill myself, right? But not my physical body, but that old life. I need to just put it to death. And I just kept contemplating. He kept talking and talking, but those words, again, just rang in my heart. And I thought, man, and I was just like in a trance. I ended up going back to the module, going back to my cell. And I remember just dropping to my knees. And I hadn't prayed for over 7 years. And I fell to my knees and I just lifted my hands. I said, God, you know my life, where I'm at now. I'm asking you to heal my mom. And I'm not here to make a deal, because if you don't heal my mom, I surrender my life. I give you my life from this day forth. I'm ready to take it. I might as well just give it to you. And I want to put those things to death. I want a new life. And I want the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to help me to put these things to death. And, you know, God just gave me peace. I mean, I didn't see a bright light. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't hear angels clapping or singing. But I just felt a peace, just like the day I received Christ the first time in that prison. And, you know, from that point on, I just got really hungry for the Word of God. I just started reading the Bible and ended up, you know, little by little, my mind began to get renewed by the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit began to just renew my mind and my thoughts.
Pastor, the power of a testimony, the power of a life changed, a life transformed. It just, you saying it brings hope to all of us, and it's bringing hope to someone today who's listening and just really needs to hear that God has a purpose and a plan, and God can turn even the worst stuff into beautiful things. What happened with your mom? You know, when we come back from your break, our break, I'd like for you to just kind of share, you know, what happened with your mom, but also how did the Lord call you into ministry through this process with Pastor Claudio? And maybe somebody today might be asking, what about me? Pastor Kimo, what about me? I'm going through a rough time. You know, what would you say? Well, when we come back from our break, Pastor Kimo will give a parting shot even about that. And he's a part of a special conference, a Holy Spirit conference. We'll have him share a little bit more about that as well. You know, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is moving in magnificent ways in the lives of people. People who are open. Are you open? Are you willing to let the Lord work in and through your life? Are you willing, like Pastor Kimo, to surrender? A new day is coming. It's a new day for you. Surrender your life to the Lord. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Kimo Matsumoto. He's the lead pastor at Powerhouse Church in Waianae. You find out more about him and his ministry at www.powerhousesoldiers.com. That's powerhousesoldiers.com. If you're joining us now, gosh, this has been just a fantastic ministry, fantastic time of sharing. And, you know, you really opened up to us, Pastor, and I appreciate your generosity in doing that. Find out more. You can hear the show in its entirety. You can go ahead and go get it at thegoodlifehawaii.org. We have some other resources there as well. And if you're interested in or feel led of the Lord to partner with us prayerfully and financially, go to the Partners tab and we have some information for you there as well. Let me just say a thank you in advance. Pastor Kimo, your mom, you know, you're ready to do yourself in. Your mom told you that she had cancer. She was going in for surgery. Now, bring us up to speed with your mom now.
Yeah, my mom, she ended up living. You know, God
Answered
kept
your prayers.
Her alive. Yeah, answered prayers. And she's alive today. I'm going to meet her next week because she's flying in from Maui. Hmm. And, you know, God is
beautiful.
Blessed us. Yeah.
How did the Lord call you into ministry?
Okay, so after that point, I ended up, you know, just following the Lord with all my heart. And I got out of prison 3 months later. ended up in Pastor Borges' church, just like how he said, serving the Lord. You know, we did communion. My wife was going there. We couldn't see each other. We couldn't be together because we were both on parole. Actually, she was still in the prison system on a in a work release program called Matlock in Biola Moana. And so she was working. She got a job at McDonald's. She never was ever able to hold a steady job in her life. Started working at McDonald's. I worked at Dollar Rent a Car. And we couldn't see each other except in church. And we told the parole officers, hey, we want to get married. And they told us, you can't get married. If you get married, we're sending you both back into prison. And her parole officer was my former parole officer. He says, I know you. You're a knucklehead. You know, you're not going to last for 6 months. You know, you're going to be right back. You know, because there was a time I got out of prison and I was out for 2 weeks and I picked up a new charge. You know, so they said, man, what kind of guy gets out and 2 weeks later is back in for a new, you know, charge, you know. And so, you know, I said, well, what will it take for me to marry this woman? And he says, well, I know you. You're not going to make it for 6 months. If you can hold a job for 6 months, if you can come up with clean UAs and show up and report to your parole officer for the next 6 months with no violations, no problems, I'll consider it. And so 6 months went by. You know, the Lord made that 6 months go by in like, it's like 1 week, you know, and just served the Lord in the local church. And so I went to his office and I said, hey, look, you know, 6 months, hey, time, you know, 6 months. So what? And he says, okay, I'll talk to my supervisor. So my pro officer and her pro officer talked to the supervisor and they came back and they said, you know what? We're going to let you guys get married. And, you know, they had that much control over our lives. They had the say, you know, if we got married, we would have been violating the law. And so we got married right there that week. We just announced it that, hey, church, we're going to get married this week. And so we had like a pot blessing and, you know, we had got married. Pastor Claudio did perform the wedding and we served the Lord there. And, you know, I got involved in teaching Bible studies. And, you know, I really wanted to go into prison with him, but I couldn't because, you know, my record. And, you know, there was a time when I was actually bringing drugs into the prison and got caught. And, you know, the administrator for the prison, who was a case manager at the time, where, you know, she denied my request, you know. And so eventually, you know, I couldn't go into the prison. So, you know, I served the Lord there for a year and a half. And then I believed that God was calling us to Waianae. They say that 40% of our state's prison population ends up in Waianae. They didn't start off in Waianae, but a lot of prisoners end up living in Waianae. And, you know, there was a program called My Brother's Keeper under a ministry called Shield of Faith that worked with men and women. They had rehab homes and they said, you know, and I actually, at one time in my life, had a relationship with the pastor there and had been in the home when he was a director. And so I went out to visit him and he just said, you know, you can start serving the Lord here. And teaching Bible studies and helping us out in the ministry, you know, and I just really wanted to serve God. So I moved out there. My wife and I, we prayed on it. She said she would never move to Waianae. We went to the first church service out there on a Thursday night. The people were had a praise and worship for like 2 hours. I said, what kind of church is this? You know, no word, no message, you know. And actually, there were some women that ran around the church. And I thought, man, they're out of order. And I got tackled. A woman hit me in the chest. I fell in the chair and I said, I'm offended, let's get out of here. But I told my wife, wait, because on the way to the church, my wife said, is what kind of church is this? Is this the kind of church where they lay hands on the people and they fall down? And I said, yeah, this is that kind of church. And she says, well, what are you gonna do if they do that to you? And I said, I'm not gonna fall down, you know, I'm not gonna fall down unless God knocks me down. And you know,
no courtesy drop, huh?
So I told my wife, I said, maybe God got a sense of humor. I think the Holy Spirit just came by and knocked me down. And so, you know, she said she would never move to Waianae. She would never end up in that church. And 3 months later, we moved to Waianae and we started serving the Lord and ministering in the rehab homes and in the church. And, and that's how we started our journey in Waianae.
Pastor, you know, you've spoken about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've got a couple of minutes. You're going to be part of a Holy Spirit conference
right
coming up. Pastor Jaewon Kim and other well-known leaders from Hawaii as well as around the world. So yes, it's a Holy Spirit conference that will feature including Jimmy Yamada and Tom Bauer and Pastor Lori Bachran and others at the Hyatt Regency.
Right, right.
Yeah. A parting shot, Pastor Kimo. Somebody saying, you know, we got about a little less than a minute left. What about me, Pastor Kimo? Is there any hope for me? I'm pretty down right now. What would you say?
I would say there's great hope with God. I would just say, I just encourage you. You know, if I could just say one parting shot, it would be, you know, just to surrender, you know, and in prayer. And just call on God, call on Jesus. You don't have to say some great prayer. You know, the greatest prayer, I think, is just, God, help me. Here's my life. Here's my life. I need you. I need you in my life. And I believe that God will show up. I've never known him not to show up. When somebody calls on him with a sincere heart, with all their heart, God will show up. And God will provide great hope. God, I was ready to die. I was ready to take my life. I was in death. I was living in death. And somebody prayed for me. And I believe there are people praying for you right now. And I just encourage you to just drop on your knees and call on God with all your heart. And God will show up.
Well, surely this has been a divine moment, a moment that the Lord has sent you, Pastor Kimo, to speak into the life and into the heart of somebody right now who is known by God and loved by God. Pastor Kimo, I appreciate your open heart, your generosity in sharing gut level with our listeners. It's been a real blessing to have you with us. You know, in the next few days, you're going to hear more stories from the likes of Pastor James Kimo Matsumoto. Pastor Kimo has a real heart for people who have been to prison and been in prison and families of the incarcerated. And you can find out more about his ministry at powerhousesoldiers.com. That's www.powerhousesoldiers.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, I invite you to continue to join us. Visit us at our website, thegoodlifehawaii.org. But more than that, use this program as a means to reach someone. Invite someone you know that can relate with Pastor Kimo, and they will be blessed. Have them listen. thegoodlifehawaii.org. We've got more resources there for you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Pastor James Kimo Matsumoto. Until next time, with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.